May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 36. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Number 36. Chapter 2, the first 40 verses. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, down to verse 40. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to solemnise our minds and our hearts as we gather on this thy holy day to worship thee. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt draw our hearts, our affections heavenward. They may be set on the things above where Christ sitteth. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls. Know that thou wilt speak to our never-dying souls, that we may hear thy voice, that we may have from thee a sweet token for good, a visit from thyself, and that thou wilt come and assure us that we're in that narrow way, that thou hast chosen us ere time began, that thou hast redeemed us, and that we are thine. Lord, how we need those heavenly assurances. Now ever keep us from settling down in carnal ease, or in just a name and form of religion. But oh, may we be among those that are quickened by thy Spirit, and live a life of prayer and faith. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt work in us mightily thy grace and fear, and oh, do work in any that as yet know thee not, that this may be the appointed time not to propose, but call by grace. Oh, may there be an awakening in this our beloved land yet of many from the graves of unregeneracy and brought into thy marvellous light. Lord, the power's thine. Oh, do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. We would come, dear Lord, to that precious way and blessed way thou hast made, in and through thee, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, do help us to plead his precious name, his precious blood, his glorious merit. But, O Lord, we come as sinners, We've nothing to bring of ourselves. One said, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But oh, we do seek for grace to confess our many, many sins before Thee. Oh, we would come pleading for mercy. How the publican's prayer is so often our petition, Lord. And oh, that Thou wouldst enable us to plead it continually before Thee. And that we may know the realities of it. And oh, we pray that Thou would have mercy upon us. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, we pray that Thou would blot out all our many, many sins, our many transgressions, and that we may be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, may we each have a sacred interest in that precious blood that doth for sin atone. Oh, we would praise Thee that there is that precious fountain that's open, whereby poor sinners, led by the Spirit, can wash and will be washed from all guilt and sin. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt come this day and sweetly assure us that Thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. Thou didst shed Thy precious blood to redeem our poor souls from endless ruin. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, Thou wilt meet the cases of Thy dear people today. Thou knowest how each one has come, Lord. For Thou art the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Thou seest us exactly as we are. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that Thou wilt grant comfort to those that are sorrowful and weeping and mourning. For Thou hast promised, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Thou knowest the many things Thy people weep and mourn over. But, O Lord, Thou alone canst turn their weeping into joy, and their mourning into praise. For nothing, Lord, is too hard for Thee. We pray for that faith to believe. That those impossible things that there may be those here have today are possible with Thee. And oh, may our little faith be strengthened, Lord, and we have that faith to believe that Thou wilt yet work. And that Thou wilt yet unfold Thy purposes, and we may see, like Abraham did, the wonders God alone can do, and those things that are too hard for us, Lord, help us to bring them to Thee, and to believe that Thou art and wilt do for us far exceeding abundantly than we can ask or think. Oh, do remember Thy tried people. Thou knowest how active Satan is, Lord, and how many of Thy dear people are tried and tempest-tossed. But, oh, we pray for Thy appearing, that Thou wilt cast the adversary out and deliver Thy dear people, and those, Lord, that may feel to be at the ends of the earth, oh, do give them that faith to look toward Thee, for For thou hast said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. May we be continually like dear Jonah. I will look again toward thy holy temple. May we have that singleness of eye, Lord, to look alone to thee. And come to those, Lord, that may need thee in some special way, and thou alone hast promised to supply the need of thy people. And Lord, we pray for the dear children, that thou wilt bless the little ones, the dear babes. We thank thee for a measure of healing to the dear little one, Lord. And we pray that thou wilt go on to strengthen and to heal and restore. And Lord, we pray that there may be raised up here a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. Send down answers of peace, we pray. And oh, may it please thee, Lord, to bless the dear young people. Help them, Lord, in all their paths to look to thee and to cast all their burdens and cares upon thee. May they see thy hand working wondrously. And, O Lord, may it please thee to be with those that hope to be married in this coming year, Lord. We pray that thy presence may be with them, and that they may see thy hand going before them, making crooked things straight, rough places plain. And may they sweetly prove, whatever be their need, thou alone canst supply. Help them and help us each, Lord, to draw from that blessed fullness that there is in thee, and that ever abides to answer our need. Bring back those who have forsaken thy house, Lord, and many have forsaken Zion's ways. Oh, we do beg of thee that there may be yet a blessed return, and that we may yet see the wonders thou alone canst do, to send healing to those in affliction. Lord, remember the little ones and those that are older and many in advanced years in great affliction. We pray, Lord, for that needed healing, restoring mercies, and oh, that thou wouldst sanctify these things. May there be a blessing in them all. And oh, Lord, do prepare us for the great day of death, and oh, that we may be ready. Oh, how we need thee to fit us and prepare us for that great day. And oh, that we may be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness which is of the law, but that righteousness which is of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Who help the deacons, Lord, and bless them, and the choice of the hymns, and may those hymns be made a blessing to thy people and to their souls. And oh, may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And we pray thou would add to the church yet precious souls, Lord. May there be those constrained yet to follow them, who remove all the hindrances, we pray. There may be those enabled to say, hinder me not, ye much loved friends, for I must go with you. And, O Lord, may there be real travail in the churches throughout this land and in our own flock. May there be yet those brought forth as precious souls to thy honour and glory. For when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And, O, we pray that there may be yet a bringing forth in these dark and solemn days. O Lord, do bless their own flock as they gather today and help thy servant with them. And may it be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Remember all thy servants and grant them that anointing from heaven. And oh, may there be those things done this day in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Who help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace, and all thy favours, Lord, unworthy as we are. We seek for a heart to love and praise thee more, and crown thee, Lord, of all. Remember, Lord, this guilty nation. Hear the prayers that are put up by thy people. May those prayers be heard and answered. May our Queen and the royal household be blessed with thy grace and fear, that they may set a right example in the nation. And do remember our leaders and rulers, Lord, both in government, in the established church, and in the police force, army, and so on, Lord. We beg of thee to work in them that they may set a right example in the land, and that many may turn to thee. Oh, do bring us as a nation to God-given repentance and to seek thy face and overturn all the workers of iniquity and those violent and evil men that they are, Lord, and deliver us from the terrorists and all that would mar the peace of the nation. And remember all those lands where wars and conflict rage and those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. O Lord, we would not multiply words. We seek thy divine help as we turn to thy holy word, and that thou wilt shine upon thy word and reveal to us the vital things of God in it. And oh, may there be a true spirit of hearing to thy dear, given to thy dear people. And may thy precious name be glorified and our poor souls be profited. Do strengthen us for this hour and through the day. And do blot out and forgive all our many sins and anything we've uttered amiss. And remember those we may forget or leave out, Lord. Do come and visit them each. And leave us not, nor forsake us. We ask these poor breathing in the precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. 514.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is a very sacred and wonderful account left by the Holy Spirit concerning Simeon. And if you and I have got the religion that this dear man had, the Lord will favour us with some of the realities and blessings that are couched in this text. Because as we think of dear Simeon, he was a wonderful character, but not only this, he was a precious character in the sight of God. And these wonderful graces that were found in him are left on record for the help and encouragement of God's dear people, but not only this, as a gracious exhortation to them. And may it be a gracious exhortation to each of us here. As we venture into it, may we each examine our hearts. What do we know of these four vital things that were found in Simeon? Now, he begins, the Holy Spirit does, by saying, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." Whenever we find the word behold in God's holy word, you will always find there is something very important to follow it. You will so often read the Lord speaks behold, pause, consider, view what is to follow. You read that word in the Revelation where the Lord was speaking to the church there and he said to them, didn't he? Behold, in Philadelphia, I have set before thee an open door and no man shall shut it. And that was a most vital and important message to the church in Philadelphia. And what did dear John say when he saw the dear Redeemer walking this earth? He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But for us to behold these things, we need living, vital faith, the eye of faith to behold them. And there are many occasions we could name where that beautiful word, behold, prefixes what the Lord speaks to his dear people. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. He was in a very sacred place. You see, Jerusalem, the city of David, was a very special place to many in this day in which this word was recorded. It was the holy city of God. And when the disciples were sent forth to preach by the dear Saviour, where had they got to begin? They got to begin in Jerusalem, the holy city of God. He told them, didn't he, before he ascended into heaven, those precious words, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There was a man in Jerusalem, in this holy city, waiting for the blessing of heaven to descend upon him and upon the whole church of God, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. It's a beautiful description given by the Holy Ghost of this dear man, isn't it? He was just and devout. What does it really mean to be just? Not just in our own eyes, as the world may profess themselves to be, or the religious professor may be. They think they're just. It's only God that can make his dear people just. And there are a few ways I would lovingly set it before you. First of all, a just character is one who is right in the sight of God. Not right in their own eyes, but right in the sight of God. We're told the just shall live by faith. We are told that the memory of the just is blessed. And the Holy Spirit has recorded how the Lord looked upon dear Simeon. He saw this just man, one that truly feared the Lord. Now let us measure our religion by this. Because if we are to get to heaven, we must have, and I'm not saying all in the same great measure that Simeon was blessed with it, but we must know a little of it. Just tarrying with the point right in the sight of God, what would be the desire of this just man? What would be the desire in your heart and mine if we desire to be found like him? The prayer of the old saints would be your prayer and mine. Lord, make me right and keep me right. And it's only the Lord can. But then, oh, that we might be in possession, as he was, the fear of the Lord. It's an unctuous light to all that's right, the hymn writer said, and it's a bar to all that's wrong. The Lord has wonderfully promised to bless them that fear his holy name. And one of the evidences of the fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of wisdom. He'll make his dear people wise to where they stand before a holy God as poor, vile sinners. wise to their condition, but wise too to know their great need of the Saviour and the Saviour's precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. And we are told was just. But then he was a man of faith. You may say, oh, but if only I had a grain of it. The Lord will give every one of his dear children the grain of faith. He did to the publican, you know. There was the dear man, he was wise to his condition, wasn't he? And what a poor, wretched sinner he felt to be. But the Lord had given him the eye of faith to look to the dear Redeemer, who alone could have mercy upon him and alone could remove all that sin that troubled him. Faith looked out of himself to the precious Christ. Where are you looking and where am I this morning? The just shall live by faith. And here was a man of faith, you see, in gracious exercise, looking to the Saviour and looking for his coming, as we will come to in a moment. But then a just person will not be able to lean on themselves. The only place they can lean is upon their dear Redeemer. You think of what is recorded concerning the spouse of Christ. She came up from the wilderness, but how? Leaning upon her beloved. Beautiful couplet of the hymn, isn't it? On her beloved Lord she leans. And you know, so often the Lord will take away the props, so that's the only place you can lean. You know, it's easy to lean on self, isn't it? Or arm of flesh, or may even be our loved ones. And we start leaning upon them, and then the Lord takes away the props. I remember the late Mr. Mulvey saying to me, this was only shortly before he died, he was only 53 when the Lord took him home. And he was like a father to me in the things of God. And I remember him saying to me, and it was only, little did I know that he was going to be taken within a few days, he said to me, just a little word of advice. He said, don't lean on me, because if I'm taken, he said, where are you going to stand? You know, it's a solemn thing when the Lord takes away the props. It's easy for us to lean on self or something base, isn't it, instead of trusting sovereign grace. And you know, I've never forgot that. There's only one place you're about to leave, and that'll be on the Lord. I don't know what you may be in today, poor soul, but oh, mate, and Simeon knew what it was. He, all his hope, all his salvation was upon the dear Redeemer, the only place he could lean. And this is where a just person will be. Leaning upon the Lord. For everything, that means in providence, it means in grace. Leaning upon him. Trust him, poor soul, he will not deceive you. Man may, your best friends may, but he never will. The same man was just and devout. Much could be said on being just. these just characters, if I may just go a step further with it, are justified by the Lord. Or read what Paul spoke to the Romans of them who are justified. We live in a solemn day where many try and justify themselves. The only place the poor sinner can come is to be justified by the Lord. He who is the judge of all the earth. And Abraham said, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He justifies his people by coming into this world, suffering, bleeding, dying for them. And they shall know what it is to be glorified, and they shall know what it is to glorify his precious name. But I'll leave that for your meditation because of the time. The same man was just and then and devout. You know, this has searched me much throughout the night, and devout. How devout are we? You see, every one of us is like Simeon did here. He stood before the Lord exactly as he was. How devout are we? You know, many years ago when I lived in Kent, I used to, in my work, have to visit the convent at Staplehurst. And you know, it was a lesson to me. You know, those nuns and those in that convent, how devout they were. We know they were devout in a completely wrong way, in the sense that they worshipped a false god and worshipped idols. But how devout they were in what they did. You know, it's a good thing for us each, and you young ones, just take note of this, to be devout in your occupation and devout in your schoolwork. That means to say, putting our all into it, not half-heartedly. But here was a man that was devout in several ways, and I want us help just briefly to look at this. But going back to that convent, you know, I used to see them, they walk along and there was an idol and they'd fall down and worship it for so many minutes, and then they'd go on and then they'd come to another and they'd worship it. They were so devout in the what they did. And I thought, it brought home to me, I thought, how devout am I in serving the Lord? There they were in serving idols and devout, but how devout are we in serving the Lord? And you know, it came so powerfully to me in the night season last night. Are we devout servants of the Lord? You see, the dividing line goes right through the chapel here this morning, or every congregation throughout this land and throughout the earth, and every town, every city. Are we servants of God and devout in that service? Or are we servants of the devil and devout in that? You know, you have come to, and I've no stones to throw of those that are still dead in trespasses and sin in the world. But you know, when we were in Australia, you go to the chapel in Melbourne, and along the road there, there were queues for miles to go into the football pitches and the sports centres. A nation obsessed with sport. And how devout they were. And you know, I thought about it as we went to Melbourne Chapel, and I thought, trust we're going to serve the living God, but are we as devout as them in serving their idol? You cannot serve two masters. May we examine ourselves in this. Are we like Simeon, who was a devout man in serving the Lord? And that means day and night. Oh, it does. I know you'll say, oh, but we've got no power to do this. We haven't in and of ourselves, but the Lord will give us the desire to. Oh, he will. He was just and devout in serving the Lord. But then, and I tread into this very carefully and has helped, are we devout in reading the Word of God? Or do we just pick it up when we think we will? You know, oh, to be devout in our reading the Word, that is to read it, and may the Word read us and search us. And may we ever be at the Word of God. It's like one of the old divines in Scotland years ago. Somebody came to his house, a man came to his house, and he said to him, well, what books have you? Good books and so on. And the dear man, he said, you know, there's one book I'm devout in reading, and it's the book above all books, and that's God's Word. You think how many are devout reading the newspaper every day? But how devout are we in reading the Word of God? When I was a little boy, and it was something I've never forgot, you know, dear old Mr. Haler, and many of the older ones remember him, but he used to come to Staplers to preach. I should never forget how he said it. He said, some of you say, well, I haven't time to read the Word of God. He said, but you've always got time to pick the newspaper up, haven't you? And as a boy, I never forgot it, you know. Are we devout readers of the Word of God? That Word that we read may be might, life and power to us? Because in it, you see, and this is what is so precious to the child of God, in God's holy Word, it's not just print on the page. The Holy Spirit can shine upon that precious Word and he makes it life and power to you. And you can feed on it and grow. And there's encouragement, and there's direction, there's comfort. Everything the child of God needs is found in it. And it's right up to date. Oh, it is. Just what the child of God really. But so how devout are we? May we examine. You know, it came to me in the night. How devout are we in serving the Lord? How devout are we in reading his Word? And how devout are we in going to the house of God and worshipping the Lord there? Many make excuse. But oh, to be amongst those that are devout. You know, I sometimes look at some of my old saints in the congregation at the Dicker, and they're over 90 and they're always there, you know, wanting something for their souls. They're devout in their worship. And what a lesson to the younger ones, isn't it? You see, it's not what a person says, it's how they walk. No big words of ready talkers, it's humble walkers, these are they that Jesus loved. Now how devout are we to the house of God? How loyal are we to it? Do we ever seek to be there for our souls? Jesus said, didn't he, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The same man was just and devout. But then how devout are we in prayer? Do we only pray when we think we should? Or are we praying like the apostle exhorts in the churches? What did he say? In everything, by prayer. Everything. He didn't say some things. Everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. And you know, really, well, I don't want to set anyone in my own heart before you, but you know, so many times through the day you have to come to this and seek the Lord. It may be in a small matter, it may be in some great matter concerning your soul, it may be some small thing in providence. It's like the little lad many years ago, you know, staying at his grandparents' home, and the little lad took the watering can from his grandfather's shed. When the grandfather went to use it the next time, it wasn't there. And he questioned the little lad, and of course he'd forgotten where he put it. Well, that night he went to bed, and the grandparents said they could hear the little lad talking in the bedroom. And they went to the stairs and listened. And he was praying for his soul. The Lord would bless him. But he said this, Lord, help me find the watering can. You know, the dear grandparents never forgot it. The next morning he got up and he went straight out in the garden. The Lord showed him where he'd left it. It's a simple thing, you see, but the reality in it, you see. Devout in prayer. Oh, may we be like Simeon. And may we ever be like dear old Jacob when he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. The same man, dear Simeon, was just and devout. And devout. What did the apostle further say to the Thessalonican church? Pray always. And you think, oh, the need of pray without ceasing. In everything, you say, pray without ceasing. May the Lord grant to us more and more diligence in these things, you see. Earnestness in them. You look at Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He was a diligent seeker of the God of heaven. Oh, he was. The same man then was just and devout. And then you think of it in our example that we set. You know, a child often learns from its dear parents by example. And what example are we? Are we devout in setting an example? Not only to our children, grandchildren, but before the world. Are we devout in it? Well, I preach this to myself, I'll leave the other with you, but you know, it really searched me during the night. And are we devout in seeking the Lord that we might be prepared for that great day of our departing, the great day of death? We were talking earlier Dear young friend, we were saying about, you know, how soon our lives are ebbing away, and the moment we are born, we then begin to die. Oh, to be devout concerning our end. Lord, are we ready for that great day? Well, he was a man that was, wasn't he? And the Lord had told him that he should not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. He's got something to look forward to, hasn't he? The same man was just and devout. Well, may we lay this to heart, but I must hasten. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. There are two vital things here. First of all, he was waiting. He was waiting for the dear Redeemer to be born into this earth. Waiting for the Lord's coming. The Lord had told him he would not die until he'd seen him. It's a wonderful occupation, you see, to be waiting for the Lord, isn't it? What did the Lord say? They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Now, are you waiting for the Lord to appear for you? Or waiting for the Lord to answer your prayers? Waiting for the Lord to work and to work wondrously? He was waiting. Those were the lines of the hymn were very sweet to me many years ago. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee. And then listen. Who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Are you waiting for the Lord to appear for you? It may be in something in providence, it may be in your pathway, it may be concerning your soul, waiting for him to blot out all the sins that trouble you. The hymn writer said, wait then my soul, submissive wait, and oh that we may be waiting for the Lord's appearing. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. What was he waiting for? The consolation. This is the second point in this clause, isn't it? The consolation of Israel. You see, the Church of God, in the days prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus, was in a dark place. A dark day. There was much grief, much weeping, much sorrow. You read those 300 years between Malachi and the coming of the dear Redeemer. A dark day. But here was a man that was waiting for the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus, the consolation of Israel. One who was to comfort her in all her afflictions, in all her sorrows. Oh, think of what the Saviour said to the sorrowing, weeping disciples. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Think of a dear lady when she joined the church at Ashwell and I was pastor there, you know. I should never forget how she said she was doing her ironing, you know, the little family she had at the time. And she said she was in so much sorrow of soul because of her sin. And in such distress, she said, you know, the tears dropped on the ironing board. She felt she couldn't go on any longer. the Lord came and he spoke those beautiful words right into her soul. I will not leave you. Comfortless. I will come to you. And she said, oh, the joy there was, the turning of the sorrow into joy, the weeping turned into joy. And the Lord can do it. Now here was Simeon waiting for this. The dear Redeemer was to come to console his dear people. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We think of those beautiful words. I notice the margin refers us to them concerning this in Isaiah's prophecy. And what does he say? The Lord speaking to the dear prophet. And what does he say in Isaiah 40 in that first verse? Those beautiful words. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Oh, the joy there was to the church of God when the Lord spoke that. But he sent his prophet, who was a beautiful type of Christ. But you see, this was the coming of the dear Redeemer, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for this day. Now, are you waiting for the Lord to appear in your soul? Lord, do come and reveal thyself. Make thyself known to me. Turn all my sorrow into joy. Remove all these days of mourning. Now the Lord can do it, poor soul, today he can. Change, we sing it in the hymn, don't we? Change thy mourning into joy. And oh, what is this joy? It's Christ, you see. Oh, it is. He's the joy of his dear people. He's the consolation of Israel. Now the Lord said concerning Simeon, this is exactly what he was doing. You think there was the dear man who was just and devout, and he was waiting. And this is what the Lord has recorded concerning him. And he looked at the heart of dear Simeon. He looked at all what Simeon was in, and he knew all his need, and he does yours and he does mine today. The same God ruled the universe then and he does today. We know things have changed, and so often we may say for the worse, but you know he still supplies the need of his dear people, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Oh, may we be like him, waiting for the glorious appearing of the dear Redeemer. And then, just briefly, he says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Well, let me ask you this question in one's own heart too. Do we need the Holy Ghost to come upon us? Well, if we truly fear the Lord, among his dear children, we shall need the Holy Ghost to come upon us. The Holy Ghost was upon him. There was no doubt about it, he was upon him. He was under the blessed influence of the Holy Ghost. When is it that you can really pray? You may utter many words, and so may I, but when is it we can really pray? It's when the Holy Ghost comes upon us and he indicts in our poor heart, unworthy as we are, real prayer. Wrestling prayer, you see, can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, poor soul, you can breathe out your desires before the Lord, and you may not utter a word. You know, some of the old preachers used to say, the best prayers are when there's not a word uttered. Those inward groans, those inward sighs that go forth from the heart of the child of God. And the Lord knows those cries that went out of the heart of Simeon. But the Lord knew them all, we did. When is it you can walk in his ways and keep his commandments? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and he makes you willing to obey what the Lord commands. Oh, he does. You read that second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you know, really that dovetails wonderfully with this text, because in two ways, you know, those that gathered on that day, we read, and you can read at your leisure in the early part of the chapter, they were just and devout men. And we read at the death of Simeon, the death of Stephen, devout men carried him to his burial. And we read throughout the Acts of the Apostles of devout, godly women. They were devout. But the second thing was, in each of those cases, you will find what is in our text, the Holy Ghost was upon them. You look at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came upon dear Peter as he opened his mouth and preached unto them Jesus. And the Holy Ghost came upon them that heard the word, so they could follow him in his sweet commandments. They were under the influence of the Holy Ghost. When is it we're in their right spirit? It's when the Holy Ghost is upon us. We're tender. We're humble. All we want to do is the Lord's will. The sweet submission given. When the Holy Ghost is upon us. We're not our own, you see. Solemn thing if we think we're our own, you know. In a carnal state we think we're our own, and we can do as we like. But you know, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and may we know more and more of it, we shall be submissive to his mind, his will, and do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. The flesh must be put down. Christ must be glorified. When is it you can truly praise the Lord? Think of dear Hannah, when the Lord gave her a request, and in the second chapter of the first book of Samuel, what do we read? The dear woman sounding forth the praise and honour of her God. And when was it? When the Holy Ghost was upon her. She could truly praise him then. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice. And all his will esteem. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then we read, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And you think of the joy there was when they brought in the Holy Child Jesus. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. May this exercise each of us as we go into the house of God, that we might go into the house of God in the Spirit. He went into the temple under the Spirit of God. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God. You know, dear Simeon didn't take him just up in the arms naturally. That was a wonderful favour. You think of it, to hold the Lord of life and glory. But he took him up in the arms of faith. All Simeon's hope for time and for eternity was in this precious babe of Bethlehem. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He could lay down and die, couldn't he? The Lord had fulfilled his promise. He'd done for him all that he needed. Oh, may it be so with each of us, but the time's gone. May he bless the word. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £665, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day, and our friends at Penstanton hold their Christmas morning service at 9:30. Let us close with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? 1095.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little at a bite. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Be with us now in the interval. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.